Welcome into a Friday night edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoop Ball and the Hoop Ball Podcast Network. I am Damian Barling, and I thank you so much for downloading, streaming. I thank you so much for listening. I welcome all the subscribers in. I welcome in all the new listeners. We are so happy that you are here. Unfortunately, we're talking about a loss tonight. A hell of a game, though, by the Sacramento Kings. A hell of a game, period. Lakers move to 10-2. They get the win over the Sacramento Kings, 99-97. The Sacramento Kings now fall to 4-7. We'll break this game down in depthly. We'll talk about what they got coming up next. And spoiler alert, they got the hottest team in the entire National Basketball Association as the Boston Celtics were able to win again tonight. I think it's their 100th win in a row, give or take. They were able to beat the Golden State Warriors tonight. So we'll look around the night in the NBA, but let's talk about your Sacramento Kings game. And here, let's get right out the gate with it. As always, we'll bring you, you know, Luke Walton's post-game sound. We'll break down, you know, the game as it progressed and as it went along. And we'll just start with this, though. I'm probably in the minority here, which if you ever listen to my daily sports podcast, you know that's a phrase I have to utter quite a bit. I don't think Harrison Barnes was fouled on that last play by LeBron James. Initially, it looked like he tripped him, but when they showed that other angle that was coming from the baseline, it looked like Harrison Barnes just slipped. And if LeBron caught him, he caught him like barely on the back of the foot. Now, I know that's still a trip. I just don't know that that's a foul that you call. But I don't think that he touched him. Now, you can argue whether Anthony Davis fouled him. I don't think that he did there either. And truthfully, I don't think Harrison Barnes should have had the ball in that position. It looked like the, you know, Bogdan Bogdanović got the ball into him. There was a play right there to give the ball right back to Bogey. I thought, honestly, as the play started to develop and you saw the space between Bogey and the defender, it was like, oh, we're doing this again. Bogey's going to hit a three for the win. And then Harrison turns and goes to the basket and is like, uh-oh. There's Anthony Davis right down there in the paint. And that was the end of the ballgame. Really good game for the Sacramento Kings. I mean, this team is different. This team is very, very different. This is not the team of last year. This is not the team. You know, I know we were all disappointed in the 0-5 start. I know we're all disappointed that they're not scoring 130 points per game. But Luke Walton talked about defense. He talked about defense in the preseason. He talked about defense on media day. After one loss, he talked about defense. After two losses, he talked about being patient with the defense. After three losses, four losses, five losses, he continued to stress the importance of patience and how this team was working to get better on the defensive end. Well, over the course of the last six games, we've seen the team get significantly better on the defensive end. I think that was very evident against Utah. I think it was evident against Denver, Toronto, and it was evident tonight against the Los Angeles, or it was evident, excuse me, it was evident tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers as well. This was a really good defensive game for the Sacramento Kings. It's just, you know, you got LeBron there, and LeBron sometimes smells blood. Like Luke Walton put Wayne and Gabriel in the game for you know, about 5 minutes, and the Lakers crowd started salivating. LeBron James noticed this. It's not like he embarrassed, you know, Wayne and Gabriel or anything, but they did try to take advantage of that matchup. It wasn't an explosive day from Anthony Davis. It really wasn't an explosive day by anyone. The Kings' defense was actually that good. The Lakers are amongst the league's best when it comes to points in the paint. And while the Lakers did outscore the Kings tonight, 42-36, that's actually well below the Lakers' average of 50-plus points in the paint per game. We noted at the end of our last Sacramento Kings podcast, and we noted on the Daily Sports podcast as we were getting ready for this game, that Dwight Howard has played significantly better this year. I think he's played significantly better than any of us could have imagined, both offensively and defensively. And the Los Angeles Lakers are very, very good defensively. And I, again, just as a basketball fan, this game was entertaining as hell. I thought both teams did a great job. And one thing that I'll really praise the Kings for here in this game is the Lakers made a number of runs virtually in every quarter. The Lakers, you know, they would push the lead, you know, up to six, up to seven, up to eight. They would push the lead up to 10, or the Kings would be up by 10 and the Lakers would cut it all the way back down to two, or they would, the Lakers would be up 10 and the Kings would cut it down to two. And you would see that all throughout the game, no matter what happened, no matter what spectrum, no matter what part of the run the Kings were on, whether they were dishing out the points or they were getting the points put back in their face, they didn't waver. I never felt like they panicked. Even when the Lakers were up, double digits, I never felt like they lost their composure. I just felt, you know, the game looked like they had a couple of bad possessions. The Lakers or LeBron were able to take advantage, and then the Kings would come fighting back. Kings got off to a fast start. 13-6 started the game before Frank Vogel called the timeout 5 minutes in, and a three-point play from Danny Green kind of got things going for the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, Yogi Ferrell got some run tonight. Not only did Yogi Ferrell get some run, but he played very well. And again, if you were listening to the last Sacramento Kings podcast here, you know I'm a fan of Yogi Ferrell, and I was really hoping to see a lot more minutes from him. And we did see that tonight. He didn't start the game. Corey Joseph did, and I believe that Corey Joseph started for defensive reasons. And he did fantastic job. He did a really good job defensively, as I think the Sacramento Kings overall, I think they did a good job defensively. But I love seeing Yogi Ferrell play tonight. I love the amount in which he played. I think he provided a tremendous spark off the bench. We saw him play 29 minutes. We saw Bogdan Bogdanovic. Yo, he came off the bench as usual. He played 37 minutes. And this really felt like Bogey had 18 points. If you had asked me to throw away the box score and tell you what I thought Bogey did, I probably would have given you something significantly higher than 18 points, because every one of those 18 felt incredibly impactful in this game that was so, so close. So Yogi Ferrell, he was the sixth man tonight. So it was obviously a conscious effort by Luke Walton, who I joked last week, maybe he didn't like Yogi Ferrell. I couldn't figure out why he wasn't getting much run, why he was getting so many DNPs, coaches' decisions on the box scores. And he obviously, now with De'Aaron Fox out, second game that the Kings have had to play without De'Aaron Fox, we saw more of an impact here from Yogi Ferrell. Again, he was the sixth man off the bench, or he was the first man off the bench. He was the sixth man into the game, and it was obviously a conscious effort by Luke Walton to get Yogi Ferrell involved here. Threes and defense. That was kind of the name of the game for the Sacramento Kings in the first quarter. Threes, defense, and then a half-court shot from Harrison Barnes. That helped the Kings take a 10-point lead into the second quarter. Six straight to start the second quarter by the Los Angeles Lakers. Kings quickly got the lead back. They got up by 10. I think they even pushed it to 13 there at that point before Frank Vogel had to use another timeout. 2 minutes later, a 12-0 run and a heavy dose of Kyle Kuzma. That 13-point lead was down to one. But again, Lakers took the lead after that. I never felt like the Kings folded. I felt like they kept playing hard, particularly on the defensive end. I never felt like they panicked. I never felt like they kind of collapsed within themselves. Again, it was just a situation where the Lakers would string together a couple of baskets. The Kings would have a couple of bad possessions. Let's go to Luke Walton here postgame.
Consistent basis lately. It's unfortunate we didn't win, but as of now, that's the best team in the West. And we gave ourselves a chance, and that's really all you're asking for, is a chance to win. I thought there was a lot of plays that we could have executed a little better. Their switching took us out of our rhythm a little bit. We had some open looks we didn't knock down, but I mean, that is a big, talented team. And I thought our guys, we were light on numbers. We had to put guys in that hadn't played much at all. And everyone that checked in fought and competed. And that's as a coach, that's what you get really proud to see, that type of effort. So I'm happy with the way we played. Obviously would have preferred to win, but we move on. Got Boston Sunday.
I know it's a bad position to be in, but what did you see on that last defensive play there?
By them or by us?
By them.
I mean, it's, we ran our play. We had a chance. We didn't make it. You know, that all we try to focus on as a team is what we can control. And what we can control is execution, knocking down shots, making the extra pass. Harrison lost his balance. We had Buddy open in the corner. which is kind of what we were looking to get. But Harrison's got the option to take it to the rim. He got tripped up and decided to try to lay it up, which we're all good with. And unfortunately, the AD made a great defensive play.
You've talked about the use of your coach's challenge and how you want to try and save it for the fourth quarter when things matter. It looked like there are a couple positions in that game, especially kind of that drive to the basket by Buddy. What's going through your mind in those situations when the game's that close?
The problem with it is you lose a timeout. And when we're down bodies the way we are, and I'm saving those timeouts to get our guys rest and to advance the ball. I need at least one at the end of the game to advance the ball. So, it's one of those things that came close a couple times to using it. But I didn't feel strongly enough about any of them to risk burning a timeout over.
What did you think of Bogdanović on defense, the way he competed against LeBron?
Yeah, he's that's one of the things we keep challenging him on. He's an ultra competitor. I thought he did a great job, more so in the second half, being active. He's smart. He has long arms. He gets deflections. But yeah, that's something we're on him about. Well, we need him to be one of those guys for us that is out there making defensive plays as well as offensive plays. And I thought, considering that's probably the toughest matchup you're going to get in this league, I thought he did a pretty good job when he had his minutes on.
What was it like for you to get the reception you got and be coaching a competitive game like this against a former team?
It was fun. I love this. Why this job is fun. It's stressful. It's hard. But this is what you, as a competitor, you love to do. And to be back in your old building and playing against the team you used to coach and play for is exciting. Again, it sucks that we didn't come out with the outcome we wanted, but I'm very pleased with the effort and the way that we played the game tonight.
Even down the body.
I think as a Kings fan, you should probably be pleased with the effort. This was the Kings are the best team. The Lakers are the best team in the Western Conference. They're one of the best teams in the NBA. They're the best defensive team in the NBA, and the Kings kind of matched them defensive for defensive possession as best as they could. And it's difficult to match them offensive possession for offensive possession when you're down De'Aaron Fox, you're down Marvin Bagley, you're relying on Bogey to carry the scoring on a night-after-night basis. You're relying on Buddy Hield to carry the scoring on a night-after-night basis. By the way, you heard Katie Hunter address the coaches' challenges there at the end of the coaches' reviews or whatever they're called. My new favorite tradition during Kings games is watching Buddy Hield completely overreact to some sort of play and beg for a coach's review. You heard Katie mention the kind of the driving layup, in which it that actually did look like Buddy got fouled. He immediately does. It's like a wide receiver who feels like they were interfered with. And after every play that they don't catch the ball, they start making the motion to throw the flag. I feel like 3, 4, 5 times a game now, Buddy Hield is making that stupid twirly finger motion to get Luke Walton to review a call. And I feel like Luke was doing it like at the beginning of the year. He's like, wait, Buddy's saying review the call. I'm throwing the challenge flag or whatever you do in basketball. And I still don't think I've seen one of those overturned. Like I still don't think the refs have gone to the, at least not in a game I've watched, where the refs have gone to the cameras and go, oh, my bad. We're going to fix that. I still haven't seen that in an NBA game. And I love Luke's explanation as to why he didn't do it. And even on the last one, Buddy is screaming the 3-point attempt. Or I think it was a 3-point attempt where Anthony Davis challenged it. He's waving his finger in the air like, challenge it. Anthony Davis tipped it. And then you go to the replay. It's like, nah, he didn't tip it, man. You took a bad shot that was challenged by a dude significantly bigger than you, and you came up with nothing. I love Luke Walton's explanation there, particularly the part about advancing the ball, because that's something you never want to forget about when you get into those one-possession games. You want the ability to advance the ball forward. The Kings, they kept their composure, as we were noting there before we went to Luke Walton, during these various runs. Having a big lead, losing it there in the second quarter, they kept their composure. They continued to play well in the half court. They took a 1-point lead into halftime. Overall, I thought it was a really, really good half for the Kings. They had 19 field goals in the first half. They had 14 assists on those 19 field goals, and Buddy led the way with 4 threes for all of his 12 points. Coming out of the third quarter, the Lakers went up by 7 quickly in the third quarter. And then there's a moment that's going to be played for all of eternity.
He's shooting 38% from downtown. Here comes LBJ!
Yeah.
Oh, the crowd on their feet. That's what they came to see. If nothing else happens, they're happy now.
Indeed. That dunk on Nemanja Bjelica is going to be played for a very, very long time. And you always say this. Garrett Temple used to tell us this on the radio all the time. Hey, I'll be that body. I'll be the one who takes the body because that means I got out there and challenged it. But in this case, you could see there was a point where Nemanja stepped in front of LeBron and it was kind of like, uh-oh. He was going to draw a charge. He realized it was LeBron and he just kind of had to stand there and take it. And as I said, and this isn't hyperbole, that's a play that is going to be played for a very, very long time. But the Kings continue their solid play there in the third quarter. And again, you heard the crowd there on that play, right? They buzzed for about 90 seconds. Like, the crowd was on its feet. It's one of those moments that just, you hear commentators, the arena is buzzing. Yeah, they were. And they were buzzing for quite a while after that. And yet the Kings, they still kept their composure. And that's going to be my takeaway from this game. Not the final possession where I think Harrison Barnes should have given the ball back to Bogdan Bogdanović. Not the final defensive possession where Harrison Barnes, I guess, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll get to that in a minute. But that will be my takeaway from this game is that the Kings kept their composure when LeBron, you know, stepped out there as the fourth quarter got underway. The Lakers had taken a 3-point lead into the fourth quarter. LeBron James and the Lakers, they really opened as if they were prepared to take the game over. They went on an 8-0 run. They got going. Yogi Ferrell kind of settled things down a little bit. LeBron got the ball in the next possession. That's when he saw Wayne and Gabriel guarding him. And there was just kind of this moment where it was like, all right, okay, we know how this ends. We've seen LeBron do this time and time again, and he'd miss a shot. The Kings come back. They would get a basket. LeBron got clumsy on a possession. He was kind of dribbling the ball out in front of him. He sort of lost it, and Bogey just took it. He just took the ball from him. He got a layup on the other end, and an and one made the free throw. And again, it all falls back into the Kings were able to keep their composure. They absolutely would not go away. The Kings took a lead in this game in the fourth quarter. They were up 85-84 with about 6 minutes left. Didn't last long, but there were various plays here. There's a couple of things that stand out about the final possession. The final defensive possession, we'll note where... actually, let's start with the possession before that, before Harrison Barnes committed that foul when Bogdan Bogdanović tied the game. There was no movement on the offensive end. And I don't know if the call was just give the ball to Bogey and everybody stand around, but that's exactly what the Sacramento Kings did. It was virtually Bogdan Bogdanović against the Los Angeles Lakers, and Bogdan Bogdanović won in that situation. So just keep that in the back of your mind here for a second, or hell, keep it in the front of your mind. Bogdan Bogdanović versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Go back and watch that second-to-last offensive possession for the Sacramento Kings. They were not moving. They collectively, the Sacramento Kings, they were not moving. It was just Bogey with the ball looking to create. He did. He tied the game. The next offensive possession for the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers walked the ball up the floor. LeBron James starts to make a move. The game's tied here at this point. He starts to make a move to the basket with about 5 seconds left. And Harrison Barnes fouls him. Now, is that it was kind of a weird foul call. And as I've noted in the past, I generally watch the game with the sound down because it forces me to pay closer attention. So I'm looking at this kind of confused because LeBron's going to the free throw line. So I turn the volume up and hear Doug Christie reference. I don't really know what happened there, except I think maybe Harrison Barnes thought the Kings had a foul to give. And they very much did not, which would explain why Harrison Barnes kind of immediately turned towards the bench and he's looking at Luke Walton. And I don't know what that dialogue was. I don't know what that exchange was. But if Harrison Barnes thought they had a foul to give, that would explain his immediate reaction when he saw LeBron James walking to the foul line. So that was the final defensive possession for the Sacramento Kings. The final offensive possession, obviously, LeBron made the two free throws. It looked like it's a play for, you know, this, I guess this is the run pass option, to put it in NFL terms. We see it all the time. The inbounder gets the ball back and creates the play. Well, Bogdan Bogdanović taking the ball out, goes to Harrison Barnes. It looks like there is nothing but daylight for Harrison Barnes to get the ball back and repeat the highlight that has been shown all day from last year when Bogdan Bogdanović beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Instead, Harrison turns, slips, has no momentum carrying himself to the basket. Anthony Davis, you know, he jumps and he does put his hands forward. It's not in the straight up and down position. He does put his hands forward, but all he does is catch his ball because Harrison, he had no shot there because he had no balance and he's jumping with no spring in his legs. And Anthony Davis had no problem blocking that ball. So with all sorts of things that went wrong in about the final 6 seconds for Harrison Barnes. Again, my argument, based on what we saw just one possession earlier, when the entire Sacramento Kings offense was standing around, when the other four members of the Sacramento Kings offense was standing around and Bogdan Bogdanović was controlling everything and it was Bogdan Bogdanović against the Lakers and Bogey won, yeah, sign me up for that one more time. Like, we just saw it work. Let's see it one more time. And if you're going to have Harrison Barnes take the final shot, I'm not against that. I'm just not against the way, I'm against asking him to do something that, you know, maybe isn't his specialty. Like Harrison Barnes penetrating to the basket, trying to create a shot with Anthony Davis down there. I don't know about that. And I was watching this play as Luke Walton was talking there. I was watching the play back on my computer thinking, and I noticed that Nemanja Bjelica wasn't in the game. And it feels like, wouldn't you want... And maybe he was lined up in a place where I just didn't see him, but it didn't look... I don't think Belly was out there on the final possession. Wouldn't you want him out there? Wouldn't that immediately draw Anthony Davis? Because he was just camped out, he being Anthony Davis. He was just camped out waiting for someone to come to the basket because I'm assuming that the Lakers remember vividly what Bogdan Bogdanović did last year. And I assume they were under the thinking of, we're the best team in the Western Conference. This team right now is a couple of games below 500. We're at home. They've got the best team in the NBA coming up on Sunday. They're going to try to win this game, and they're going to try to win it right now. The last thing that they want to do is tie this game. They're shooting a three. And I would bet there was no one in the arena more surprised than Anthony Davis when he saw Harrison Barnes coming towards him, especially when you consider the fact that there was no one... Like, once Harrison Barnes penetrated to the basket, once Harrison Barnes turned, you know, he slipped. He was committed. There really wasn't anything else he could do. There wasn't an open man in the quarter. Once he was there, like, that was it. I mean, I think there's going to probably wind up being Zapruder film of that play put all over social media over the course of the next 24 hours by Kings fans, by Lakers fans, maybe by the NBA, maybe just by NBA fans. I don't think LeBron touched him. I think he just turned and tripped. And then if LeBron caught the back of his foot, like is an inadvertent trip, like is that a foul call in that position? I don't know. I mean, I still don't like the call of Harrison Barnes, even if he has full momentum, even if he has full strength going to the basket. Because Luke Walton says, oh, if he doesn't trip, he's going to the basket and he's getting a dunk. No, he's not. He's not getting a dunk because Anthony Davis is down there. I don't know. He's certainly not getting whatever that was that he wound up putting up there. But he's not getting a dunk. I still don't like the play. The play should have been for Bogey. We just saw what Bogey did. Bogey was the reason that the Kings were in a position to win that game there in the fourth quarter. Not Buddy. De'Aaron's not there. Bagley's not there. The rest of the team had kind of kept them afloat, but it was Bogey. I told you, when we gave you Bogey's stat line of 18 points just a minute ago, it was those were the most 18 impactful points imaginable. Like, they came at very key points for the Sacramento Kings. I'm not down on this game at all. This was a tough game for the Sacramento Kings. They've got another tough one coming up on Sunday when they take on the Boston Celtics, who I think they lost their first game of the season. They haven't lost since. They beat the Golden State Warriors tonight at Oracle. A couple of other notes from around the NBA. The Washington Wizards beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 137-116. I only bring that game up because Bradley Beal had 44 points tonight. 44 points and 10 assists. Second time in a row. He's the second player in Wizards franchise history with multiple streaks of 40-point games. Who does he join on the list? believe it or not, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. It's his third career game with 40 points and 10 assists. It's the Wizards, so no one really cares. But he is having a really incredible season. Nothing along the lines, though, of what James Harden is the Rockets. They beat the Pacers tonight, 111 to 102. James Harden, and it feels like this is becoming very regular when talking about James Harden. 44 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. He has 20 points in 5 consecutive halves. That's tied for the third longest streak over the last 20 years because there are streaks for everything. It's Harden's 53rd game with 45-5. That is fourth most in NBA history. Russell Westbrook, he added 17-8-6. He is shooting 27%. He being Russell Westbrook, he is 11-41, shooting 27% in the last two games. And remember Ben McLemore? Kings fans, remember that guy? He had 21 points tonight. He was 4 of 11 from three-point range. Again, the Rockets beat the Pacers tonight, 111-102. A quick programming note. I think I referenced this on the last podcast. I do want to reference it one more time here for you. The Sacramento Kings will take on the Boston Celtics in the middle of the afternoon, 12:30 on Sunday. I will not have a post-game show for you. After that game, I'm going to be at that game at the Golden One Center. I'm going to be there with a lot of family and friends as well as the Celtics are in town. Again, if you know, you know. So we'll be back next week. I got to get Brewski on the line here. Step away from these post-game shows for a night and talk to Brewski for a little bit. So we'll try to arrange that next week. I know the Kings got another tough matchup against the Phoenix Suns. I'm sure the Kings are looking for a little bit of retribution after that opening night loss against them, but the Phoenix Suns continue to play good ball. So it's not going to get any easier for the Sacramento Kings as they roll along, but I'm confident, and I'm usually not the overly optimistic guy. I'm not the one who takes away moral victories, and I'm not going to call this game that they had tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers any sort of moral victory, but I thought that they played pretty well, and I thought they played pretty well on the defensive end. It was just a couple of mistakes here and there that ultimately cost them, you know, the victory. It's those couple of mistakes that are the difference between playoff teams and non-playoff teams. But I'm walking away feeling pretty good. You know, looking at the last six games in terms of the body of work for the Sacramento Kings, I feel pretty good about the direction that they're going. I'm still not sure what kind of team that they are. But there's starting to be, you know, a pretty good amount of evidence that says the Kings are a good defensive team, which is baffling. Like, that is absolutely astonishing to say out loud. And, of course, we're grading on a little bit of a curve. Maybe the best way for me to state it is the Sacramento Kings are a good defensive team compared to what they used to be. As a matter of fact, you could probably go a step further and say the Sacramento Kings are a significantly better team defensively than they used to be. But will it amount to wins? Will they be able to shut down the Boston Celtics coming up on Sunday? That's the next game at 12:30. We'll be back sometime next week, certainly on Tuesday with a post-game edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast. As I mentioned, we'll try to get Brewski on the show. We appreciate you so much for tuning in and being a part of what we're doing here. If you're not yet a subscriber, please become one. If you haven't yet rated or reviewed the show, please do that. We would greatly appreciate it. Tell all your Kings fans about us. Tell all your NBA friends about us, and we'll be back here next week with more of the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network.